Welcome to the Filmmaker Mixer podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined alongside my co-host Jeff, as always. Today we have on head of Austin Studios, Martin Jones.
Hello, everybody. This is the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, and today we are talking to Martin Jones. Martin Jones is a two-time Emmy Award-nominated producer. He is a creative innovator, and you know, one of his biggest talents is working with diverse teams of artists and technicians and organizing those teams to create memorable and entertaining multimedia content. He is also the head of Austin Studios, which is operated by the Austin Film Society, one of the nation's leading media nonprofits. And, you know, Martin, the Austin studio has always been good to me and a lot of the filmmakers here. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. I really appreciate the opportunity to spend a little time with you and your listeners today.
So one of the things I always am curious about, I'm curious, was there, you know, an inspirational moment or a defining moment in your life when you decided you had to be in the business of storytelling and filmmaking? How did that happen for you?
You know, I thought it was Star Wars, but I just recently had a full circle moment that teleported me back in time. I was just in the south of France for a friend's wedding, a very dear friend, just a couple weeks ago. And he's like my kid's godfather. I mean, they wouldn't exist if this man hadn't been my friend and introduced me to their mom. So really important guy. He's finally getting married and, you know, they decide on this sort of destination wedding. And as I'm preparing for the trip, I'm like, I really want to go visit Studios de la Victorine, where my favorite movie of all time was shot, Day for Night, or La Nuit Americaine, Francois Truffaut's Oscar movie with Jacqueline Bisset, or Bisset, as they say. Anyway, my filmmaking, you know, I started, you know, my dad's darkroom as a younger kid, you know, just being enchanted by images and shadows and the whole photochemical process. And then I had a, you know, 8mm camera and a Super 8 camera, and things got really serious sort of like in junior high school. But right before Star Wars came out, I was in France in the spring of 1977, and another major sci-fi movie had come out, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I was in France when that movie came out, and it was a big deal, not only because of the spectacle of the movie and Spielberg, but because Francois Truffaut was in the movie playing the French scientist. And so it was a big deal. The theaters had these big, you know, displays on their marquees. And so I'm this 13-year-old kid in Nice on a, you know, middle school or what we call junior high school back then, language trip. And somehow we stumbled upon meeting some people working on a film that was shooting in Nice. And they said, would you like to come by? And I was like, absolutely. And they gave us a call sheet. I think I still have it in my parents' basement somewhere back in Ohio. And we go, and it's the first time I've ever seen a Hollywood movie being made. Granted, it's in the south of France in Nice. And the movie is Revenge of the Pink Panther, directed by Blake Edwards.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yes, starring Peter Sellers.
Oh my gosh.
So that was like this moment that I saw, and the scene that we got to see them filming is when he's like getting into his little crazy car, the De Chevaux, that falls apart at the top of the hill. And we got to see that gag happen. And we're there standing on the streets of Nice. So it was really a wonderful moment for me after my buddy's, you know, my dear friend's wedding the last month, that I found myself, you know, I connected with my counterpart at Studios de la Victorine and got to go to the place where my favorite film ever was made, and that was Francois Truffaut's Day for Night. So Nice and being a teenager at age 13 in 1977 became this catalyst for me. And then that was fully cemented a few months later when Star Wars came out. And I'll never forget being on the phone with my dear buddy, Ben Coe, who I was in school with, and we were doing some Super 8 movies. And we were both talking during the commercial break, you know, whatever was on TV, $6 Million Man, whatever it was. And that Star Wars commercial came out and we both went silent, Jeff. And we were like, what was that? And so those two things and being a teenager and, you know, having the access to some technology then called Super 8, that was the catalyst. That was the beginning. That was the defining moment.
Well, that's awesome. And seeing Blake Edwards and Peter Sellers, I mean, those movies were awesome. That was a priceless Steinway. Not anymore. So many great moments in those movies.
Yeah. And you go from experiencing those memorable moments to making your own memorable moments as head of Austin Studios, which sounds like a dream job. I'm curious, how did you first get involved with Austin Studios, and what does your lead role as head of Austin Studios involve?
You know, Andrew, thank you. It is a dream job. I had lived in Texas before in 2005 to 2010 up in Dallas, and, you know, had made the trip down to Austin to see the lake and, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, which is a state capital and has a big university that people may not like to hear the name of, the Ohio State University.
Andrew and I are Midwesterners too. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, you know, I wasn't like pressing the accelerator to come down I-35 to see Austin. And when I got down here, you know, a friend of mine from film school was here, and it was right before she became the state film commissioner, Heather Page, who you may or may not know. And Heather and I have known each other since college, since we were teenagers.
And you said you went to film school. Where'd you go?
I went to Denison University in Ohio.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Great liberal arts college tucked away in central Ohio, and had this killer film program. Jump ahead many years. I had only been to Austin that one time, and I was in the Pacific Northwest and came down for my first South by Southwest in 2018. And at that time, I experienced the new Austin. You know, it was just like, wow, okay, this place is cooking with gas. There's some really exciting things going on here. And a year later, less than a year later, Heather had stepped down from being the film commissioner. She was consulting with Austin Film Society and helping them with their search for studio director, was the position at the time. And she came to me, and I was like, no, I'm not coming back to Texas. Nothing against Texas, but, you know, I was about to be an empty nester. I thought I might go back to California. And then, you know, Heather just put a spotlight on AFS for me. And, you know, I had great esteem and knowledge of AFS from over the years, but I was like, okay, you're right, I should look into this. And so began the interview process, and found myself here in December of 2019, just 3 months before the global pandemic and lockdown.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I was able to help cement bringing a show here, Walker, that is, you know, produced by CBS Studios, Paramount Global, and airs on the CW network. And we were able to get that show, like many shows, into production because the film industry took COVID seriously. And when all the protocols went into place, you know, we were up and running. But, you know, it was a lot of isolation because, you know, unlike the show that was filming when I first got here, Panic, the Amazon series, where, you know, I was on the set and visiting people, none of that was happening during COVID. It was like, wow, as few people as possible. So, you know, 3.5 years later, you know, thankfully Walker is still going. I mean, we'll probably talk about the strike. Nothing's in production, or very little is in production right now. But, you know, I just didn't have an opportunity to get out and meet people in the market. And so I'm, you know, really happy to have discovered your podcast and, you know, the opportunity to, you know, recently make a film here and, you know, get to know Austin better. And, you know, today I was just out meeting some people in the post-production community.
How do you think the Austin Studios helps the industry in Austin stand apart?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Jeff. I mean, we stand apart in the sense that we have a really unique partnership. Austin Studios, as seasoned Austinites will know, is located at what used to be the Austin Airport, the Miller Municipal Airport, right off of East 51st Street, between East 51st and the airport just east of I-35. And when Austin Bergstrom became our international airport, you know, 23, 24 years ago, and the, you know, Miller area was just abandoned tarmac and runways, our artistic director and founder, Richard Linklater, saw a great opportunity, and he went to then Mayor Kirk Watson, who's ironically mayor again, and city council, and said, hey, those empty airport hangars, airplane hangars would be great for studios. And they thought, wow, that's kind of a cool idea. And so we did a pilot program, and then the pilot got extended. And now, you know, with the great work that AFS has done over the last 23 years, about 10 years into our pilot programs, we got a 75-year operating agreement with the city. So that that land is still owned by the city of Austin, and we take care of it. And we pay for all of the repairs. So when air conditioners go out, when the hailstorm that came through a few weeks ago knocked out some roof stuff and windows, we pay for that. You know, the asphalt, you know, you name it, painting, whatever, you know, thousands of dollars in landscaping to take care of the 20 acres. We take care, we pay for all that. And the money that's left over is what we can put toward the mission of the Austin Film Society, which is helping filmmakers, getting money into the hands of filmmakers, developing filmmakers, training filmmakers, and showing the work of filmmakers at our cinema. So the really cool thing about the ecosystem is that in the 23 years we've been around, over 1,000 projects have been based just at Austin Studios. Those 1,000 projects have yielded over 36,000 jobs over the past 23 years.
Oh, wow. And
even more importantly, the economic impact is $2.5 billion. That's a billion with a B.
Wow.
And so that is a great return on the investment for the citizens and for the city of Austin, that we're able to maintain and take care of this 20-acre property and turn it into a creative hub that brings, you know, filmmakers and producers from around the world to Austin, as well as the home team like yourself and your listeners who have been making Austin a vibrant film market for many years now.
And how many stages do you have out there now? How many, it's been a while since I've been out there. How many spots do you actually have?
Yeah, so it's 7 stages, an office building, and a cluster of 7 bungalows or outbuildings. And then we've even started building up our back lot because Walker needed to replicate a bar they were using in St. John's. It was, again, during COVID, really difficult to move people over there because of social distancing and, you know, coordinating with the neighborhood. And then after the show became a hit, it was like, hey, let's just build it at Austin Studios. So we now have, you know, a small back lot addition with the the sidestep bar. And the really cool thing is it's an exact replica of the place across the street from, it's an event center across from the Long Play Lounge, but they made it a little higher, a little wider, a little bigger, made the stage bigger. And they even use Austin based musical acts to do performances on the show and use their music on the soundtrack of the show. And, you know, Walker is Austin for Austin. Jared Padalecki, you know, wanted to develop a show about his, you know, where he lives, about Austin. And so, you know, it's a great tourism vehicle. They talk about all kinds of restaurants and, you know, local things that we love about Austin. So it's really cool.
Could you describe some of the notable projects that have been produced at Austin Studios and what makes them stand out in terms of creativity or impact?
Well, our number one repeat customer, believe it or not, is not Richard Linklater, our founder, although he does all of his post-production on his movies at our studio. Every time Rick has wanted to shoot in a stage, unfortunately, we've had to say no to him because we were rented out.
Oh, the irony.
I'm determined to find a way to get a Richard Linklater film shot at our studio while I'm running it. But I've done my job a little too well because we've had 100% no vacancy, 100%, 100% occupancy the last 3.5 years. But what we've been able to do is have like really great repeat customers like Robert Rodriguez. Like all the Spy Kids movies have been shot at Austin Studios. Mike Judge shot Idiocracy at our studio. The Coen brothers shot True Grit at our studio. So those are some, you know, really cool projects that have filmed at the studio. Alita Battle Angel, another big Robert Rodriguez spectacle, shot at our studio, his studio. Now, Troublemaker is right next door. His part of the airport that he got was from the state when George W. Bush was governor. So you had these two sort of cousins, Troublemaker Studios and Austin Studios, and we even had a little secret back road between the two of us. But, you know, now that the Miller neighborhood is completely built up, you know, all those access points are gone. It's now a middle school and houses and parks. And
yeah, that place has really grown out there.
Yeah, it's really wonderful, you know, for us to be able to show producers that, you know, their cast and their crew that are from out of town can, you know, live right next door, be 3 minutes from their studio workplace. And when they're off, be able to go on trails, ride their bike, go by the water, go to a pub, go to a movie at the Alamo, go to a nice dinner, you know, take their kids to the Thinkery and Museum and other sites. I mean, it's all right there, that sort of whole, you know, live, work, play concept. And, you know, at the same time, Rick went to the city about doing the studio, which is just our 20-acre carve out and our 7 stages and, you know, multiple buildings. You know, the city had this grand vision for Miller, and it's now coming up on 25 years, and the plan was for 25 years. And now there's over 8,800 housing units. I don't know how many thousands of people live there. And there's only a couple of swatches of empty land left. I mean, the amount of building that's happened in the 4 years I've been here is remarkable.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. A lot of cities are, you know, competing to attract film production. You know, you had a lot of stuff going on in New Orleans and Atlanta. What do you think makes Austin such an appealing destination for filmmakers? And how does the Austin Studios, you know, play out in that role in bringing films here?
Well, one of the really cool things is the base of filmmakers, film technicians, crew, and cast that's here. So the people who live in the sort of Austin metro area, which can be as far out as, you know, Dripping Springs or, you know, Hill Country and Bastrop to the other direction, and, you know, Georgetown, Temple, Killeen to the north, and, you know, San Marcos to the south, you know, it's a big area and a lot of people call it home. And, you know, producers can come here, do their production, and, you know, have these great artisans and technicians and crew people go home to their own houses and go to bed and not have to pay for hotels. So having a great crew base, you know, having like probably the biggest crew base in Texas right now, where multiple shows can be going, multiple, you know, commercials can be going, that's a big attraction. You know, once upon a time, you know, people just loved coming to Austin because of the lifestyle, the city, the fun, the culture, the music, the film, the arts, the beautiful location. And in our sort of 30-mile studio zone, you can have everything from a big city to hill country to quarries to natural wonders to small town Americana and all points in between. And that is very attractive when you don't have to build it, right? It's just there. And small towns and big towns and cities in Texas have, many of them, I think it's over 200 now, have become qualified film-friendly cities. It's a program that is run by the Texas Film Commission. And then we have these wonderful towns that have people in their community, in their government, ready to support and help filmmakers get through the process with as little red tape as possible. And then the city of Austin, you know, we've got an uber mensch of a film commissioner and Brian Gannon. He directs people to, you know, incredible resources. So between the Texas Film Commission, the Austin Film Commission, and all of these film-friendly cities, you know, wearing my producer's hat, that's very attractive because they want to help. You know, 10, 15 years ago, the incentive wars began where, you know, it's like, well, if you can give us money or offset our costs, will come. And so, you know, the big winner of that reality is Georgia. Georgia is giving out like over $1.6 billion a year in incentives. And, you know, they're now the number 2, number 3 top filming destination, you know, and it's that sort of new triumvirate of LA, New York, and Georgia. You know, New Orleans and Louisiana had some dips in their incentives, so filming sort of dropped, but, you know, they're still very competitive. And then now, you know, Texas is being, you know, circled by people wanting in on filming Texas stories. And so Louisiana, Oklahoma, and New Mexico were kicking our tails with incentives. But I'm proud to say that the governor just signed over the summer the biggest film incentive package in the history of Texas, $200 million for this upcoming biennium. And that's double what we've our highest historical ever. So between the great things that are happening in Austin, there's also a percolating community in San Antonio and in El Paso and Houston and, you know, Dallas, of course. And now, you know, Fort Worth is blazing an impressive trail with Taylor Sheridan up that way. So there's a lot going on in the state. And it's ironic that after all this work and bipartisan support and, you know, the actual sign off that we then are sort of at this cricket stage because of the strikes that were happening over the summer.
Sure, sure. Well, I want to circle back to something. You know, Richard Linklater obviously inspired a lot of filmmakers, you know, when he made Slacker. And there are a lot of, you know, micro budget filmmakers. And with the technology available, you know, now you can do that and make great films on such a small budget. I'm curious, as opposed to the big projects that come to town, when you've got small micro budget filmmakers, does the studio provide any, you know, any extra things for those super low budget guys?
Yeah, our grant program is massive. So we've been giving out grant funding. So this is free money. You know, they don't have to pay us back or anything since 1996. And to this day, we've given out over $2.4 million in cash grants and over $425,000 of in-kind support. So like camera rentals, post-production services, things like that. And so, you know, over this period since 1996, we've supported over 502 filmmakers and over 600 projects. And many of these filmmakers were unknowns when we started doing this, but they're now becoming, if they're not well known to the public, they're definitely well known in film circles. And so you probably know the name of David Lowery, who did a ghost story in The Green Knight, Peter Pan and Wendy. He was supported by our AFS grant. Kat Candler is a former showrunner of the TV series Queen Sugar. She's also on our board. Patrick Bresnan and Yvette Lucas, who did Skip Day, which is in Director's Fortnight, you know, Cannes, which they won. Margaret Brown is, you know, Oscar shortlisted for her and nominated for her film Descendant. She's a great documentary filmmaker, and she's cutting a new project at Austin Studios right now. Catherine Proper and Amy Bench and Annie Silverstein's film Breaking Silence just won the jury award at South By this year. So that's just a handful of the people. So we provide office space to some independent filmmakers. We have a tenant picture shop who does all the dailies for most programs that are shooting here, bigger shows that may not be doing their full post-production here, but their dailies are uploaded from Austin Studios and sent to the editors in LA or New York or wherever. MPS Studios, which is based out of Dallas, has their Central Texas hub at our studio. So most filmmakers that are getting their camera packages are coming to Austin Studios to get their cameras prepped and ready for their shoots and or getting grip and electric equipment from there. We've got two casting directors that are CSA casting directors, Vicky Boone and Beth Sepko. And we had a COVID lab during COVID at the studio. So, you know, a lot of resources for helping people, even if they're not shooting at the studio or filming on the lot, you know, the gear and equipment that is available to them. Unfortunately, we just lost Chapman Leonard, the people that make all the impressive cranes and dollies and process trailers for car filming. They were our oldest tenant. They're a great company, LA-based, fourth-generation American family-owned company. They just pulled out from Texas after 22 years, unfortunately.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Out of the whole state?
Out of the whole state, yeah.
Wow.
So they're focusing on New Orleans, LA, New York, and London right now. And Atlanta, of course.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we also do screenings for a lot of filmmakers for works in progress. So even if, you know, they didn't get a grant or want to get a grant or just need to get some feedback from our programs teams, that's been helpful to them. And then we have our cinema. The AFS Cinema is like, you know, a gem over across from ACC Highland campus.
Right.
The old Highland Mall. You know, we serve over 76,000 moviegoers a year from there. And our programmers, you know, carefully curate, you know, over 400 movies a year from around the planet. So I'm there all the time. I mean, I'm like Norm, you know, from Cheers. Happen to have a great bar, there as well. And got the best popcorn in Austin.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're Norm with popcorn.
real butter at AFS Cinema, real butter. So, you know, we're open every day of the year, except for, I think, Thanksgiving. I think we're open on New Year's and Christmas Day. So, you know, whatever the latest art house wonders are, those show there. But then we have this great curated program, which gives us sort of the unique distinction of being Austin's only full-time curated, you know, retrospective theater, where, you know, there's a calendar, you know in advance, you know, we're going to focus on films of Marlene Dietrich and Joseph von Sternberg, or, you know, standouts from early Black cinema or Asian cinema, you know, great series on Kurosawa and his film noir movies, you know. So all of those kinds of things are really quite wonderful.
Well, looking to the future, what are the key goals and ambitions for Austin Studios? How do you envision the growth and evolution of the studio in the coming years?
Well, you know, that's a really, really great question, Andrew. We have been extraordinarily lucky and blessed to have had the support of Austin voters and past bond measures that the city has done that we've been invited to be included in from 2006 and 2012. And in both of those situations, we were able to obtain about $5 million, 5.2, I think, in 2006 and 5.4 in 2012, that allowed us to do special projects at the studio that as a nonprofit, we couldn't afford to do on our own. And that was like upgrading for soundproofing and, you know, high-end fresh air, silent air conditioning, which is really important when shooting in a building in Texas in the summer. And so, you know, being a part of the city's bond those two times was really, really significant. And it means a lot to us that, you know, the voters, you know, were supportive of the entire effort and that we were included. So we hope we get another opportunity when that happens again. Because, you know, like I said, we're taking care of this facility and it's a former airport. So, you know, we need to continue to do things to help keep the infrastructure strong. So we hope that we'll be able to do that. But we also look forward to opportunities to team with some of the, you know, bigger companies that are coming to Austin now and calling it home for their headquarters, some of the major technology companies and different industries. We hope that they will take on a philanthropic mandate to support the arts and culture in Austin. So not just film, but, you know, all areas of art and culture. We hope that film will be a part of it. And so it would be really cool to see that kind of support continue for the arts and grants and supporting, you know, organizations that are legacy organizations like Austin Film Society, as well as the numerous new and middle, you know, up and coming nonprofits helping us to help the community. That would be continue to help the and empower the community. That would be really wonderful.
Well, Marty, where can people find you if they want to know more about the Austin Studios, or if they want to know more about the work you're doing? Are you on Instagram, Facebook? How do people find the studio and find you?
Yeah, I'm very digital and very easy to find. And I give out, you know, thousands of business cards. I like that old school technology where I can just hand it to you at a festival. So our website for all of our operations is austinfilm.org. So www.austinfilm.org. And there you can find Austin Studios, which is my area. You can find AFS Cinema, which is our great cinema. And you can also find Austin Public, which is our other city partnership in the Six Square, you know, East Austin community, where we have our two studios and state-of-the-art equipment and editing available to the public. So anybody 15 to 90 years old can get training, get access to equipment, and become a producer for, you know, less than one cup of coffee a month. Let's put it that way.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And if you don't have the $100+, you know, there are scholarships available as well. But, you know, it's an amazing opportunity, especially for people that don't have the time or the resources to go to a wonderful film school program like, you know, at ACC Highland or UT's Radio, TV, and Film, or, you know, any of the other programs around town. This is another way to get access to, and you just need to take a class and pass it to get access to that equipment and to the studios. And as you're doing that, you have access to a cohort of people that, you know, you can crew for them and they'll crew for you. And there's two studios and incredible gear that's available. I mean, I'm talking like Red Komodo cameras and Blackmagic cameras and
no kidding.
Editorial. Yeah. And we even have, you know, when you become a super advanced editor, you know, you can work in the Robert Rodriguez suite, because you may or may not know that Robert Rodriguez finished his movie El Mariachi at our facility on Northwestern in the edit bay there at Austin Public. It was Austin Community TV, I think, back then, but we now run that. So those three public access channels we run for the city, and those are channels 10, 11, and 16. And channel 10 just became 50 years old. It's the longest continually running public access station in America.
Wow.
So we just had a celebration a couple weeks ago for that. But yeah, it's a home for production services and artist development, our producers program, and then our new creative careers program is a revamping of our internship program. And creative careers launched coming out of COVID in fall of 2021, so 2 years ago. And again, that's in partnership with the city of Austin. And we got an initial grant called GTOPS, the Grant for Technology Opportunities Program. And we have served over 60 participants. Our graduation rate is over 97%. I think our most recent cohort had 300 plus applications for 26 spots. So the word is out. And not only is it free, but you get paid if you're, depending on which pathway you're in, you can receive a stipend. And we're really proud of that. And as a producer, I just hired 5 of these folks. I made my first Austin film last month.
Oh, nice.
They did a killer job. I mean, they were well-trained, great people. And one of them was an intern production assistant for our costume designer. And one of the key costumers hired her to work on a Coca-Cola project. So, you know, people are parlaying these experiences into paid opportunities. And, you know, the feedback we're getting from producers and department heads is, you know, how impressed they are with the poise and work ethic of our graduates from our creative careers program. So we're really proud of that.
Well, that's how it works. You know, that's how you break in. And you know what we should do, if you don't mind, I'd love to have you back on the show to talk about your film. That sounds awesome.
I would love to do that. Yeah. It's a really cool project. I think a real gem. It's one of the best things I've produced in my long career. I'm very happy about it. And I'd love to come back and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll set that up. I'd love to do a deep dive in that, talk about that film and your experience in getting it made. And, you know, the Austin Studios and the Austin Film Society have you know, done a lot of great work in town. And so we're excited to have you on the show and hear about all the stuff you do. And we will circle back with you and get you on the show to talk about your movie.
Well, thank you very much. It's really a really great organization. I'm glad that my friend Heather reached out to me and impressed upon me to take it seriously and to reconsider coming back to Texas. And my only hesitation was that I was here in 2008 when the financial crash happened, and, you know, it didn't fare very well. I was making car commercials at that point, and we got hit really hard. So you generally don't like to go back to places where bad things happen to you.
Well, but you turned it around, though. You know,
you're doing
good stuff.
Yeah, Heather was right. She said, you know, AFS is great and there's cool stuff happening in Austin. And she was right. I mean, it's a really attractive place to be. And, you know, I'm just forever thankful to the, you know, the people who saw fit to stay here and not leave, you know, and build this great industry for us in this current generation and the next generations to come.
Yeah, Austin is really a great place to make films.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for being on the show, and we will have you on again soon. And in the meantime, you take care, my friend.
Thank you very, very much, Jeff. Andrew, I look forward to meeting you in person. And again, big, big thanks to you and the whole team. Everybody has been great reaching out to me on this opportunity and helping. I really appreciate it.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, be well.
Thank you for listening to the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, a podcast created and hosted by filmmakers Jeff Stolen and Andrew Lamping and produced by Melody Lopez.
Our theme song was composed by Stephen D. Bennett.
Make sure to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and stay tuned for future episodes.